This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Hello, and welcome to episode 9 of Sophocles' Antigone in 2019. My name is Peyton, and I'm here with my guest, Nikhil.
Glad to be here.
And today we are going to talk about the theme of isolation, and specifically how that relates in the passage where the guard announces to Creon and brings Antigone, revealing to him that she's the one who has buried Polynices. For some context, we go back a couple hundred lines, and we look at the first meeting of the guard and Creon, where the guard says, "Hey, someone's buried the body." And Creon says, "Are you sure? Do you know what you're saying?" And then the guard explains what he saw, which was that someone had indeed buried the body, and they don't know who it was. And after this, the chorus says, "Hey, Creon, maybe this is Thaelaton. Maybe this is something willed by the gods." And Creon is extremely angered by this, and he goes into this huge tirade about how money is the root of all evil, and whoever did it must have been bribed. And following this, we have the Ode to Man, the choral ode in which the chorus praises the wonder and terribleness of man, all in one. And then the guard comes back, and he has Antigone, and he tells Creon, "This is the girl that did it. We saw her." Now, before I talk about the passage itself, I want to talk about a little bit about how isolation relates to two of the main characters of this play, Antigone and Creon. So, first of all, with Antigone, her family as a whole is already isolated in the context of the play, just because of the incestuous relationship between Oedipus and Jocasta.
And that's kind of a unique thing in mythology for incestuous relationships to occur. That's usually associated more with the gods and being something they can get away with because they're these immortal divine beings. But for mortals, that's just a line people shouldn't transgress, and that's what's happened here in this family.
Right. So obviously a lot of people have very strong feelings and are probably disgusted by their family. And even within this family, Antigone herself is isolated. First of all, her and Ismene are the only two remaining members of the family. But even within those two, Antigone is the only one who feels the need to bury Polynices. They are the last two remaining members of the family, and there's this rift between them. And along with that, Antigone is going against Creon and the entire city. So not only is she isolated as her entire family, but even within that family, and against the city and Creon. Now, in contrast with Antigone, you have Creon, who has pretty much everything that Antigone does not. He has a wife, he has a son, he has his chorus of advisors, and he is the king of the city. He has everything he could want.
Well, one argument that could be made, though, is that Creon is kind of isolated in the fact that he is the king, he is the sole ruler, and he's made this decree that he wants to make sure is being upheld. And I think that's maybe a view we could look at.
That will definitely come into play later on in the play when things start to turn sour for Creon. But as of now, things are kind of going his way. He has people on his side, and he's in control. Even outside these two characters, you can see the theme of isolation reflected in the guard himself, who goes from isolation to not isolation and back again when he brings this news to Creon in the first place and then goes back and hangs out with his guards again and then tells Creon that, "Hey, I have actually found the one who did the deed."
And that's really interesting because when we look at the guard being isolated initially, he isn't really glad about it. There's a whole long passage of him being like, "I really had to debate about this for a while. I wasn't sure how to tell you this. I just wanted to walk back." But then he goes to the guards with this threat, this objective that Creon has provided, and they band together. There's a whole little thing about them telling each other, like reminding how they better stay awake, they better catch who does this. But eventually, the guard comes back with Antigone captured, and he's glad. He mentions how, like, there was no vote. I was the one to come here to do this. And it has this reminiscence of Antigone's isolation, of the idea of attaining kleya's by being isolated and by being the bearer of the news or the doer of the deed.
Right, but even beyond which characters are and are not isolated, it is worthwhile to discuss how these, specifically the two main characters, perceive what it means to be isolated. For Antigone, time and time again, before this point in the play and even after, she emphasizes over and over that she is really not isolated. She has the gods helping her, and she has her family members waiting for her in the afterlife. So with all these things, she really does not feel isolated. Whereas Creon doesn't really take those things into account. He himself does not see himself as isolated, and he has a more secular worldview than Antigone does. And you can see this later in Creon's punishment of Antigone. Rather than having her killed, he simply isolates her. He puts her into a cave. Now, as for the guard's account of what actually happened when they saw Antigone burying the body, he says they were sitting on a hill, and the sun was high in the sky, and all of a sudden, a whirlwind came, and he calls it a Theon Nason at line 421. And this is significant. It's interesting that he uses the word Theon Nason rather than, I don't say, Kakon Nason. Theon Nason meaning a divine affliction or something along those lines. And this could be hearkening back to the word Theelaton that the chorus used earlier to tell Creon that, hey, maybe this is the work of the gods. So it's very possible that the guard himself thinks that the gods are on Antigone's side.
And this is actually pretty significant to note, because in the discussion earlier about the views of isolation, we saw how Antigone kind of views more on the gods being on her side and the underworld and like the dead being on her side. And Creon doesn't really see it that way. And the guard bringing up the this story and choosing the word Theon, I think, has a lot of significance for maybe further emphasizing both to the audience and to Creon himself that he is on the wrong side with the gods. Mm-hmm.
Right, and we can see this is sort of the part where the tables begin to turn. And if you were to imagine the isolation of Antigone and Creon on opposite ends of the scale, this is sort of the moment when the scale begins to tip in the opposite direction. Creon may be becoming the one who is isolated rather than Antigone. Now, to continue on with the guard's report, he says, this whirlwind lasted for a long time, and then we saw her, and she cried out just like a bird when it sees its nest bereft of its chicklings. And after she cries out, he says that she curses the ones who did this. He says, Ek daras kakas erato toisi turgon exergas menois. And although it's unclear as to who exactly toisi exergas menois refers to, I tend to think that it refers mostly to Creon. But what do you think?
Personally, I think it really depends on how you take this turgon and if there's any significance to that being the word choice and like the grammatical forms that Sophocles has chosen here, because it could either be just the doers of this deed, right? And that would refer to more so the guards and the immediate people who had unburied Polynices, whom she had previously buried. But this could also refer to, as I think you were going to say, Creon and the guards and just everyone involved in making sure that Polynices was unburied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there definitely is some ambiguity as to who exactly it refers to, but I don't think it's wrong to say that Creon is included. And if you take it that way, then I think it sort of paints this picture of Antigone releasing the curses from herself of isolation and instead placing them on Creon. And when you read on through the play, you see that this could definitely be the case. As the play goes on, Creon becomes more and more isolated. He goes on to lose the support of the people of Thebes. He goes on to lose his son, and he eventually loses his wife, and he's left with nothing. And you could even say that Antigone completes this curse when she takes her own life and reunites herself with her past family members and the gods. As for being teacher of the day, there are a lot of things I learned since this was a completely new experience for me. For one thing, there are a lot of things lurking behind the text itself. Obviously, I was aware of this before doing teacher of the day, but I found that being teacher forced me to think about these things more carefully, and also about how I could convey them to the class. Whereas when I prepare for a normal class, I can just get a general sense of the text and then figure everything else out in class. It also forced me to make sure that I know what every single word is doing in my passage, since I have to be prepared to answer any question about the text. Again, this is a much more involved process than when I normally prepare for class, and it's not easy. There really are a lot of things that a teacher has to keep in mind, like leading translation, highlighting particularly meaningful words or phrases, and especially managing time. My biggest challenge was getting the class involved, and if I were to teach again, I would put more effort into posing questions and leading a discussion on the text, rather than simply stating the things I found in various commentaries. This, I think, would have led to a more productive dialogue between me and the other students. But that said, I was surprised and admittedly grateful to see how eager the students were to add their own input when I remembered to ask them for it. And I also realized that there is a fine line that teachers have to walk between letting the students figure out the text on their own and also nudging them in the right direction. But that is going to do it for this episode. Once again, my name was Peyton, and this was Sophocles' Antigone in 2019. Thank you very much for listening, and don't forget to leave a comment to let us know your thoughts, and also be sure to listen to the next episodes.